The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Imagine, if you would indulge me, 2 great cities in the wilderness. They are well built and prosperous. Their populations are diverse. There are businesses, places of worship, schools, financial institutions. Many languages are spoken. There are systems of law and order, and there are opportunities for work and healthy living. There are art districts, musicians, good food with produce from all over the land. These cities have a strong culture and rich history. Philosophers, prophets, and scientists travel there to give lectures and interact with the elite. Some people are wealthy, some are poor, but each of them are citizens of the city. Now imagine a space in between these two cities, a desolate strip of land occupied only by the unclean, the diseased, the beggars, the criminals. People not allowed into either city. They have been cut off from their homes, from their families, their friends, their faith communities. Travelers pass through this space with fear. The rule of law is everyone for themselves. And here in this borderland, the country of undesirables, Jesus centers the new kingdom. Throughout his journey to Jerusalem, as we've been reading these past few months, Jesus has described this kingdom to his disciples through parables as an inversion of the hierarchy, exalting the humble and showing mercy to the oppressed, sight to the blind, freedom for the captive. Here in this borderland, Jesus does not tell a parable, but demonstrates a kingdom absent the hierarchical ladder. For in this wilderness, no one is exalted or humbled, but equal as outcast. And the former ladder of power becomes a circle with grace as its center. For in the new kingdom, there are no borders. There are no margins. There are no walls to divide. In our story today, we meet 10 men suffering from a skin disease who see Jesus and they cautiously approach him. They keep their distance in fear that their uncleanliness will affect them. He shouts out a healing instruction to go to their priests, and they obey and are cleansed. They rejoice and return to their homes, except one, a Samaritan, who returns to thank Jesus. And to this Samaritan, Jesus declares him healed by faith. It is somewhat nuanced, but these are 2 separate miracles. The first, cleansing, katharizo, is a Levitical or legalistic healing, whereby their disease is cured and they are safe by law to enter any city. The second healing of the Samaritan by faith is called sotizo, to be saved, to be made whole. These are 2 very different things in the Luke Acts narrative. One is a cleansing of the body. The other is a cleansing of the soul. 9 have been saved by the law, 1 by faith, by grace alone. The Gospel of Luke features Samaria and the Samaritans more than any other of the Gospels. Prior to this story, Jesus has shared the living water with the Samaritan woman at the well and told a parable about a Samaritan who showed mercy to a wounded Jew on the road. By featuring this group of people so heavily in the gospel, Jesus has repeatedly demonstrated how the new kingdom expands beyond the boundaries that custom and culture have created to keep certain people out. Chicana writer and activist Gloria Anzaldúa describes these borderlands that we create as more than mere geographic boundaries in the sand. She writes that the borderland is a psychic, social, and cultural terrain that we inhabit and that inhabits all of us. These borders are set up to define the places that are safe or unsafe, to distinguish us from them. A borderland is a vague and undetermined place created by the emotional residue of an unnatural boundary. The prohibited and forbidden are its inhabitants. Were we to take inventory of the borders that we have created, land barriers, yes, but also barriers of race, of religion, of gender, of politics, sexuality, age, ability, the incarcerated in literal walls and cages, we might recognize all the ways that we have deliberately separated ourselves from one another, which have hindered our position in the new kingdom. There are always means by which some of the unclean on the other side of these borders might fix themselves and assimilate back into the mainstream culture, usually by shedding themselves of whatever it is that made them undesirable. Immigrants learn English. People of other religions put up Christmas trees. Indigenous people partake in charades of Thanksgiving skits where white and native share a meal in harmony. The poor and racial minorities may keep out of politics and leave white men to their business. Jesus gives no judgment for anyone's survival story. It is no sin to simply want to live in peace and go about one's life unharassed, but it is nonetheless tragic, for the new kingdom makes no such demands to have a place in eternity. For it is among the outcast that Jesus has centered his ministry, and it is the marginalized, not the privileged, who are better equipped to recognize the power of grace and mercy, who are better postured for gratitude, and thus better equipped to take on Christ's mission. Why do we, who live safely in our respective cities, struggle to recognize this? Well, it isn't terribly complicated, unfortunately. Those of us who have embraced a ministry geared toward social justice have recognized the critical problem of boundaries and barriers dividing us. We know it is wrong. We know it is counter to the Gospels, and yet we feel safe behind our walls. It is a system we know, a system which awards people with white skin and married heterosexual cisgendered couples certain privileges, a system which allows worship in a Christian church on Sunday mornings as normal. We are conditioned to fear people who are in prison or who have been in prison and to distrust the cries of people experiencing homelessness. We ascribe suspicion to anyone seeking to effect systemic change in our economics or earth politics, looking for an ulterior motive. The people in the borderlands are dangerous. They do not revere our systems, and their mere existence is the visible evidence of the fallibility of our walls upon which we have invested our security. But none of us have the right to call unclean what Christ has washed clean. On the cross by his blood, Jesus granted the whole world katharizo. No more is there an us and them. In the new kingdom, there are no borders. The cities and mountains have been leveled, and the space that was once in between now covers the whole earth. There is nothing that we have done through conscious action or experience that has earned this cleansing. It is a free gift to all who desire it. But to know what it is to be made whole, to be so overwhelmed by the transformative power of the Spirit that we throw ourselves before Christ in loving gratitude and be made well, to experience sotozo, this is harder for those who live in the cities. It is harder for the privileged who enjoy the feeling of inclusivity and normalcy and acceptance simply by virtue of being oneself. Therefore, it is harder to come before Christ in absolute gratitude and joy. And we cannot manufacture this experience. It has been the heart of my own testimony that I never knew the Spirit in a personal or transformative sense before sobriety. No amount of church or worship or service could replicate the feeling of joy until I was stripped bare and restored. It was not enough to read about or hear about the limits of cultural security. I had to experience exile. The heart of Jesus' teaching, the center of the new kingdom, is a justice of compassion and mercy. And unless we are prepared to come before Christ, desperate for this mercy, abandoning the security of the city walls of privilege, our understanding of the healing and restorative power of this justice, our perception will always be limited. This word, sotazu, is translated in English interchangeably throughout the Gospels with the word save. Earlier in Luke chapter 9, the first time Jesus foretold of his impending death and resurrection, he told the disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life, for those who want sotazo, will lose it. And those who want to lose their life for my sake will experience sotazo, will save it. For what does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves?" It is true, we cannot manufacture the experience of exile. And it is harder for those of us who rely on the security of privilege and the borders that divide us to both keep us safe and define our identity to appreciate the gift of salvation from these things. The prescription Christ offers to us to bridge this gap is to acknowledge and refuse the world's securities, which, like its excess wealths, always comes at the expense of others. Thus, we must self-exile ourselves. If our own sense of privilege or identity demands that others be cast away into the wilderness, then we forfeit our salvation. We must have faith in Christ's saving grace, yes, but we must also participate. Forsake our identity in this world, all those things that hinder us from a true and honest, loving relationship with one another and our Creator. Our true identity is found in the loving mercy of Christ, who gave us all so that we might be made whole, that we might join in the oneness of creation in the new kingdom, where there are no borders, there are no margins, no systems of us and them, no rich or poor or black or white, but a community of equals. As we heard in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, the saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We have to choose. We, you and I, we are the church today. What kind of church do we want to be? Will we let ourselves be defined by nationalism, by walls, by prejudice, by love or by hate, by condemnation or by mercy? No matter who we are or what we do, Christ remains faithful to us. His mercy endures, and his offerings of grace for us are always on standby. The real question is, when the time comes, will we call out for this mercy and receive the restoration and holiness that can only be given by the one who created us? The choice is ours today. May we all shout out to the Lord and receive his mercy. Amen.